Christian does, at least most of us do, is pray. And there are different forms of prayer. We have been given many examples in the Word. And I was doing some Bible reading, and I ran upon a prayer. It was actually only about a verse long. And then I ran upon some other prayers, and next Sunday night we're going to do another one. One of David's prayers. And I would like for you to search the scriptures for that. It's not in the Psalms. And it was an interesting prayer. You will see next Sunday night. But for tonight, we're going to look at prayer that God answers. Sometimes it seems like He doesn't answer our prayers. We pray and we don't see anything happen. Sometimes we know things are happening that we don't see. But God does answer certain kinds of prayer. God has to. Not because we're forcing Him to, or that the person offering the prayer is forcing Him to. But God has certain characteristics. We know He's merciful. We know that He has grace, that He is forgiving. And so, because of that, there are certain kinds of prayer that God must answer. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is a very short prayer. It's a prayer of Jabez. And you will find it in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Now we're going to do a little thinking about that particular prayer. And in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, it tells us, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." Verse 10. "And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And I like this last part of the 10th verse. "And God granted him that which he requested." Isn't that something? God granted him that which he requested. Now, I know that we're all involved in Bible reading. And there's usually several different reasons that we read the Bible. We read because we're convicted that that's what we're supposed to do, to please God, to satisfy what others might expect us to do, but not because we have a strong urge to do so. Satan usually tries to dissuade us from reading the Bible, because that's when we are the strongest against his evil forces. Another reason that some people read the Bible is for accomplishment. They want to brag about the fact that they read the Bible through so many times a year. So that, we can truthfully say, that they read the Bible through, and pride would be the motive for that. There are those individuals who actually read the Bible to know more about God. And there are even a few who read to learn from the Holy Spirit about what the will of God is for them specifically. And this last group would take a long time to read the Bible, because they would have to stop and think about and meditate on most of the verses. That's what caught my attention here. I was reading through, and I caught these two verses, and I had to stop and think about it, particularly the fact of that last verse, and God granted him that which he requested. Our two opening verses are sort of like that. God is trying to share with his children what he wants from them, what he wants from us. Some verses of the Bible require much meditation, or you will miss the message that God has provided. And I would like for us to concentrate tonight on prayer. We're not going to study the prayer of some great, by the world standard, man of God, but the prayer of a Bible character that we don't know much about. You see, we don't even know who Jabez's mother was. We don't know who his father was. But I would like you to think about this. Jabez's mother named him Jabez, which means one who causes sorrow. How would you like a name like that? One who causes sorrow. Now, children normally, and you ladies are the experts on this, not we men, children are usually born with a certain amount of pain and discomfort. And once it's over, then there is joy and rejoicing that a child has come into this world. But you see, that is the way that God made it, because of Eve's sin. God said in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy... let me start over. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So pain during childbirth is a consequence of Eve's sin. We have to remember that. Once the child is born, then the woman rejoices, but delivery is most painful, and many women die during childbirth. If you will remember, Rachel, Jacob's wife, died during the birth of Benjamin. That's why he was so special to Jacob. God was the one who said it would be that way. Now let's spend some time on Jabez. What does the Bible tell us about him? The adjective honorable can have a good or a bad connotation in the Hebrew language by changing just one letter of the Hebrew name for Jabez. It can indicate one who is attempting to acquire riches, or one who is a scoundrel. The way that it's used here, it means numerous, rich, or honorable. And that means that Jabez was a man of integrity, at the very least. He was what God intended a good man to be. And there is something that I want us to recognize about Jabez. He didn't live the way that his name implied. Names are important, folks. Many people live up to their names, and sometimes that's not good. His mother called him the source of her sorrow during his birth. Jabez requested five things from God in the prayer that we have recorded here. First, he made his request of the proper person. He made his request of God. Many times we make requests of other people when God needs to be the source of our request. He wanted God to bless him. And that could be a very big request. In what way would you want God to bless you? There's none of us tonight who might be praying, "Oh God, punish me. Give me what I deserve." None of us want that. We want what we don't deserve. We want what Jesus paid for. What would it take to be a blessing to you? Would you need health or youth or riches? Or would you want fame or power? Even though it's not specifically spoken, God knows what you're asking for because he knows your heart. When you go to him with your prayer, he knows what you're really asking for. And sometimes we try and come up with some good words. Something that will sound fine that we can share with somebody. And God knows the truth. He knows what you really are asking for. And he also knows one other thing. He knows what you really need. What kind of things bless you? What does God have to bring into your life to be a blessing? Will a bird or a new animal be a blessing to you? Will God, what God has made or created, be a source of joy for you? I know while my wife and I were in ministry, there were certain times, and I've told you that there were certain times when some act of nature would be the blessing that we needed right then. It could be Baltimore Orioles migrating through the camp, and the trees would be full of the orange and black birds. He can use little things to be a blessing to you. Tim and I went hunting a few weeks ago on a Saturday night, was it? No, it was, I guess it was a Saturday night. Or Friday nights, anyway. I heard creatures in the swamp I had never heard before. Now that may seem like a little thing to you, but that was a great blessing to me that God had made these things and they had a purpose. I don't know what's going on with this, but so could a wild bird be a blessing to you? We saw a bird I'd never seen before. I didn't even know it existed. And that was called a black-hooded night heron. How many of you know what a black-hooded night heron is? Okay, Tim knows because he saw one. There's so much out there that God has made. And why did he make it? He made it for our enjoyment, to be a blessing to us. There are certain things that might be blessings to you. I'll name two. Puppies and kittens. As long as they belong to somebody else. You can hold them, you can pet them, then you give them back to their owner. There are so many things that God can use to bless us. And that's one of the things that Jabez was asking God for. for God to bless him. Now, he gave a particular way. But Jabez asked for blessings, and he wanted a specific blessing. How did God answer that request? The Bible tells us that God did it. He asked to have his coast enlarged. He asked to have more property that he would have authority over. And God blessed him in that manner. The Bible tells us that he asked to have his coast enlarged, and God did that. Jabez was asking God to make him more of an influence in his time. We don't know if he wanted more political influence or if he just wanted more wealth, but God gave it because God could trust him to do the right thing with it. Can God trust us sometimes to do the right things with what we ask for? Jabez wanted his success from God and not from the world. And that's one of the things I noticed as I meditated about this, was Jabez went to God and he wanted God to get the glory for what happened. Many of our prayers are not that way. Many of our prayers are for me. Maybe it's somebody we know, somebody we love, and we pray for their health, or we pray for some God to do something in their lives. We've done a lot of praying lately about this COVID-19 thing and people recovering, because that's what we want. But we have a selfish reason for that. We love the person. We want to see them comfortable. As I meditated about these two verses, another thought came to my mind. Do we know the proper thing to do with our blessings? Do we know the proper thing to do with our blessings? There are a couple of things that we might insert at this point. First, Jabez knew the right person to ask. He wasn't involved in the idols that Israel was worshiping. He only worshiped the true God. He also knew that if God answered the first part of his prayer, that he was going to need God to be with him, so he asked God to be with him. Jabez knew that he had limitations, and he wanted God to help him with those limitations. Folks, we all have limitations. We are not able to see into the future. We are not able to see what the consequences might be of some of our actions. Jabez wanted God to be his administrator. In other words, Jabez was in complete submission to God. I almost said that this morning in Sunday school when we were talking about submission. And what is the difference between respect and what was the other word we were looking at? Respect reverence. Jabez knew that he was a human, that as a man, he was capable of sin. So his next request was that God would keep him from evil. Now, folks, we get evil from two sources. We get it from an outside source called the devil, and he's always around. But what we don't like to admit what we don't like to think about, is that we also get it from an inside source called the old nature, the sin nature. And Jabez was asking God to take care of both sources of evil in his life. The outside influence of the devil and the inside influence of his sin nature. We, if we ask God to keep us from evil, must realize that there are two sources. We are one. We are one. And that's sad, because we don't want to be one. But we are, because of the way that we are made. It was the same request that David made in the Shepherd's Psalm when David said that he would fear no evil. He would fear no evil because he had submitted his life and himself to God. That was the evil that would come from outside. Evil that would come from the devil or an enemy. Jabez would trust God to take care of him and his family. The second way that God would care for him and keep him from evil would be that God would govern his activities. And God will govern our activities if you will trust him, if you will submit yourself to him, not your will. Your will is alien to what God's will is. All of our wills are alien to God's will. We have to understand that. We have to be in submission to what God's will is for us, not our own will. I can tell you, I have found myself praying certain prayers, and suddenly the Holy Spirit will show me that I'm not praying for God's will. I'm praying for my will in a situation. And my will is not the right will. Only God's will is. And he is the one we have to submit to and follow. Because of the character that had been developed in Jabez, evil was spiritually disturbing to him, either from inside or from outside. In our spiritual world today, evil disturbs and affects our relationships with God. I don't know how much news you might watch, but if you watch much news at all, you're going to become angry. And the Bible tells us, be ye angry and sin not. And that anger is a form of pride. And it is a reminder that you and I have no power to change what's going on around us. Only God does. And we have to trust him, folks. We have to trust him to bring about the things that we want or the things that his word teaches us. If evil comes from our inside, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, our conscience bothers us. When that evil comes upon us, when we desire to say something or do something that is not according to God's word, we have a conscience in our, it's called a soul. And that conscience chastens us. That conscience checks us. And there was a lady that we ministered to in Scotland. She was a very elderly lady. She was in her late 80s, early 90s. And she would constantly tell us, mind the checks, mind the checks. The Holy Spirit in you will check you if you are attempting to do something that is wrong. And that was a good piece of advice that she gave. Mind the checks. The Hebrew in our English, present in this passage, are a little different. The Hebrew makes it look like Jabez is desiring God to make him richer without consideration for God's will. It appears that it is what Jabez wants. The English translation would have a little different emphasis. In the English, it would appear that Jabez was seeking God's will, if you will. He was seeking God's will ahead of his own. For this reason, verse 10 tells us at the end of the verse, and God granted him that which he requested. Recently, God showed me that I was praying for my will, not his. And folks, we all do it. We all do it. At least I hope you do. I hope I'm not the only wicked one in here. But I was praying for my will, and the Holy Spirit showed me that. And when I stopped and I conceded that God's will would be the will I want, I really want, the pressure was gone. The stress was gone. You may have actually seen a change in me. A change for the better. Because then I didn't have to, I wasn't worrying anymore, not worrying, I wasn't fretting anymore about a situation. Now, Jabez wanted God's will ahead of his own. For that reason, God was able to answer his prayer. This was the kind of prayer that God could answer. And this incident brings us to an interesting place. It prompts the question, why does God answer one prayer and not another? Why does God answer one prayer and not another? And the answer requires some meditation and some concentration. If we're going to find an answer in the Word of God, we will have to read hundreds of pages. That's why a lot of people don't look there for their answers. They want something quick. But sometimes it takes an awful lot of reading. And if we're going to seek answers, God's answers to our prayers, we are going to have to spend time in the Word. And let's start with one of Israel's kings. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. This is a story that you all know. It has to do with prayer. It has to do with God sending a message to his person, someone who belonged to him. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Let's read this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Wow. In this case, I can see several different motives for God's answering Hezekiah's prayer. Let's look at each of them individually and see if we can learn anything. Look at verse 3. Hezekiah stayed on the path that he had laid out for him. He didn't stray or follow his own will. Hezekiah reminded the Lord that he had kept his heart clean through following God's word. Hezekiah expected to live a long time because he had obeyed the Lord. The tears were part of his prayer. He was disappointed that his time was up. He had more plans to serve the Lord, not himself. Look at the answer that the Lord gave in verse 5. Two things. God had heard Hezekiah's prayer. He had seen Hezekiah's tears. He knew that Hezekiah was earnest in his prayer because of his tears. Folks, there is something we need to do in our prayer. We need to weep. We need to shed tears. It's getting time to shed tears. Our situation is getting very serious here in this country. Our church, not this church, but the Christian church in general, is failing all over the world, but particularly in this country. I shared this morning, 70% in 1990, 70% of people went to church occasionally at least. In 2020, it was down to 26%. One in four occasionally went to church. That's why it's so empty around here tonight. God had seen Hezekiah's tears. He knew he was sincere in the prayer that he was offering. And it wasn't for his own sake, it was for God's sake. He knew that Hezekiah wanted and desired to continue to serve him. Hezekiah wanted additional time on earth to do that. God saw that he could still use him, so he answered his prayer. But there were other reasons that God answered that prayer. He answered it for his own glory and for the glory of King David. Even though David was long dead, God had promised things to him regarding the history of Israel, and God was keeping his promises. God was protecting what was his. As we think of the reason that God answered Hezekiah's prayer, it should cause us to think about the motive for our own prayers. Why do we pray? Is it for us and ours? Or is it for God's sake? I believe that most of the time we offer prayers to God, it is for us and ours. Really. Sort of hard to admit that, isn't it? Yet it's true. Paul told us that we should pray in the Spirit, which would mean that we should be thinking primarily about God and not us. I don't think that we are praying that way necessarily. We pray for things going on in our life or in the life of an acquaintance rather than what God might want us to be praying for. Our prayer needs to be directed toward God's will, not our own. I think that our prayers may become more effective if we're praying to glorify God rather than seeking what we want from this life. I believe that Hezekiah desired to glorify God rather than himself. Remember that Hezekiah was seeking deliverance from evil so that he would not bring shame upon God. Just from his testimony, we see a personal desire to be holy in all of his life. And we might want holiness in our own lives, but, and here's the truth, we don't want it all the time. Do we? I think that our prayers may be more effective if we consider what we can do to glorify God. Just from his testimony, we see a personal desire for him to be holy. We have to admit that there are times when we are thinking about ourselves and our own. Think about what we've learned tonight, and in future Sunday nights, we'll continue to study about our relationship with regard to prayer and our relationship with God. Next Sunday night, we're going to look at a prayer of David where he does not ask for anything for himself. It's 36 verses long. How many of our prayers are offered without asking for anything for ourselves? We need to spend more time in God's Word. Father, thank you for giving us this beginning of a study in prayer. Father, may we pray according to your will rather than our own. May your will be done in our lives rather than our own will. And Father, may we glorify you and obey you and love you. And Father, we will praise you for all that you are doing, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.